Those were wonderful hymns. And our morning's message was a very poignant one. We thank the Lord that we can trust in Him as our refuge. There's more that probably could be said. Unfortunately, you're not going to hear it this evening, because my sermon and the message is taken from, well, it's taken from the New Testament, but it's on a different topic altogether. But if you will turn with me in the Revelation to John, chapter 3. Today we'll be taking our evening's message from verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Context sake, I'm going to read that whole letter, Revelation chapter 3, and I'll start from verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. However, I'm going to focus on verse 20 in the message. Let's hear God's holy word. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Bible's still open. Let's ask the Lord for help concerning his word. Our Lord, we thank you for these words and praise you that you have given them and passed them on to us. Oh Lord, we praise you that we can come together this Lord's day and have your word read and expounded. Oh Father, we ask that you would open our hearts. Give us grace that we may be able to understand and perceive your truth. Give me mercy and grace to be able to speak clearly your will. I pray that in all these things, the glory and honor shall be to your holy name. We ask all these and many more in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Dear friends, Christ's letter to the church of Laodicea is the last of seven letters that he addressed to seven specific churches that existed during the first century. That church had been planted perhaps decades before in the ancient city of Laodicea, which according to experts was a wealthy city. Laodicea was a city on the crossroads of trade routes associated with a roaring trade in textiles and engineering feats. So you think that perhaps having a church there would be a proper location to capture people so that you can spread the gospel there. But dear friends, that was not the case. Despite its strategic location, the Laodicean church itself was a troubled church. Its troubles were so profound that of the seven churches that Christ addresses in Revelation, this is the only one that lacked a single commendation. Not one commendation is given to them. Instead, He unloads, Christ unloads on them reproofs. And he did so because, well, not because he disdained them, of course. He did not disdain them. He did so because he loved them. He loved them, verse 19 tells us. And he sought their welfare. This evening, I want to draw your attention to Christ's letter to this church, and specifically to verse 20, because here in this verse is one of the most glorious insights into Christ's view about a Christian relationship with him. A Christian relationship with him. And I admit that these words were perhaps in time past a very famous text for people to preach and to proclaim the gospel through it. But in this particular message, I'm going to try to extend the application to everyone, especially to God's people here, because after all, these words were given in the context of a church and is to be applied to the church. With that in mind, then, I'd like to consider this very briefly in a message, particularly on verse 20, that I have titled, A Promised Restoration for a Troubled Relationship with Christ. A Promised Restoration for a Troubled Relationship with Christ. Here in this verse, dear friends, we have two things, at least two things. There's firstly a picture of a troubled relationship. There's a picture of a troubled relationship. But secondly, there's also a promise of a true restoration. These two things are very significant, and they are very relevant for our spiritual walk. And so my hope is that the Lord will use these to help us to seek and to find healing and blessedness in our own relationship with the Lord. So I begin by calling your attention to that 20th verse, which reads, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Dear friends, you cannot read this verse without observing the clear picture presented to us. And I point out to you that this is a picture of a troubled relationship. It's a picture of a troubled relationship. Why? Because, you see, dear friends, Christ is pictured here standing at the door and knocking. And he's not just knocking at the door. We see that he's actually proffering communion to a people, obviously within the context, these people were the Laodicean church. He loved these people. They were people that he called his church. And yet, even though he was knocking and knocking and knocking, he was not being heard or heeded. He had a relationship with them, but it seemed that they were not heeding to him. This is the kind of scenario one would expect in a troubled relationship, dear friends. Now, this is not the first time that such a picture is presented to us in the Bible. In fact, if you look in Song of Solomon chapter 5, and I don't want you to open there, but if you look in 2 Solomon chapter 5, verses 2 to 6, there's a similar picture given there. And in that particular instance, there's one who comes to his beloved, but he comes to a door that is shut. And he has to knock. And he has to knock. The beloved is in. She hears the knocks, but she deliberates. For some reason, she seems not to come quickly. And by the time she gets there, the beloved is gone. That's what we see in Song of Solomon chapter 5. Obviously, what we have here in Revelation 3:20 is a little different. Here, the one that is knocking is Christ himself. And he's knocking the door, apparently, to people on the other side, or a person who is on the other side, who belong to the Laodicean church. Christ is knocking. And in this particular case, we don't see him leaving. He is knocking, and he does not leave. Nonetheless, dear friends, what is clear is that the Laodicean church was supposed to have a relationship with Christ. He was their Lord. They were his people. They were his church. But according to this picture, their relationship was in a sad state. Their relationship with him was not the best. Many things had gone wrong on many levels. Obviously, the first level of the relationship not being well is seen by the presence of the door. There was a disconnect. The direct relationship and connection with Christ and the people was absent because they were separated by a door. They were separated by a door. Dear friends, I've seen many friendships die over time, and that because of long distance. If you're of any age, maybe as I am, I'm very young, you would have gone through life and seen that with life you meet people. And as you go to certain places, you leave those people. It would take effort to keep that relationship. But one thing that you see is that long distance tends to break that bond of relationship very quickly. But dear friends, the interesting thing about the situation is that there was no long distance issue here. Christ was close by, yet seemingly disconnected from the Laodiceans. He was severed. He was shut out. He was walled off by a door. This relationship was in a state of disconnect. Not only was this relationship in a state of disconnection, but it also suffered from neglect. It suffered from neglect, or if you like, disregard. Christ is pictured as knocking, yet ignored. And this seemed like a cold and silent treatment of Christ. He's slighted. He's sidelined. The picture depicts a relationship where there's a complete disregard of Christ's worth and place of priority. And consequently, this relationship had descended into a state of disruption. You see, not much progress is made by way of real and deep interaction between Christ and the people. Instead, he remains outside. He stands outside while the people lose out on the communion he promises. And such a disruption is what sometimes leads to a breakdown in human relationship. And this is what is happening here. Such is a sad state of disconnection, disregard, and disruption pictured here. But dear friends, I'd like us to dig deeper because, you see, the picture painted here needs more probing. Why? Because relationships just don't fall apart. There's always a reason why relationships fall apart. Therefore, we need to ask questions. How? How did this relationship descend into such a sorry state of disconnect and disregard and disruption? Well, obviously, the fault is not Christ because he's the one seeking communion with these people. Rather, it's the people. And according to Christ, there were at least two factors to be considered here. And the two factors within the context of Revelation 3, 14 to 22 were lukewarmness and lies. Christ found the Laodicean church to be lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. We saw that in verses 15 and 16 during the reading. They had no commitment to one thing or the other. The text suggests that these people would rather serve both God and riches instead of taking a stand for Christ. They were willing to keep a cloak of religion if only it did not interrupt their lives of wealth. Lukewarmness, dear friends, is a viral problem. Even today, It is often what makes people live compartmentalized lifestyles. What do I mean by that? Life where a certain portion is just limited to Sunday and another is limited to the rest of the 6 days. They live Sunday religious lives while shutting Christ out of their lives the other 6 days of the week. Lukewarmness is the kind that leads people through the lane of compromise, where they never heed to Christ, except when it's convenient. Dear friends, lukewarmness is the kind of thing that leads Christians giving Christ just the leftovers. It is something to be warned against. My dear friends, beware of lukewarmness. It taints our Christian stand. It hampers Christian zeal. It stalls Christian growth. And it hurts our relationship with Christ, rendering it as depicted in Revelation 3:20, where it seems like there's a door blocking Christ and his people because he's walled off and away from them by their lukewarmness. But dear friends, Christ also notes to us that lies were another contributing factor to the troubled relationship pictured here in verse 20. Lies. If you read verse 17, you see that the Lord Jesus Christ points out to them that they thought they were rich, and as a result, it led them to a certain kind of thinking which was really into deception. The Laodiceans were taken in by the deceitfulness of riches. They were deceived into thinking that outward prosperity and riches were the end all be all, and consequently, they were consumed in pride and complacency. I'm sure you can bear with me what happens in real life. There are many people, when they get themselves into a state where they have everything, God and Christ is so far away from their thoughts because they think they don't need anything at all. And so was the case for the Laodiceans. Because they were rich, they thought they needed nothing. There was no need to seek a deep relationship with Christ. They were just content to waffle around the edges in superficial Christian living. Of course, this was a serious thing. Well, they were failing to realize their true spiritual state. And Christ points it out to them in verse 17. Their true spiritual state was that they were wretched. They were pitiable. They were poor. They were blind. They were naked. Oh, dear friends, it is a sad situation when a person is deceived into a false perspective about his true spiritual state. It's a recipe for destruction. For however close that person will be and seem to be with Christ, whether by going to church or listening to sermons or doing great works in the name of Christ, if he is self-deceived into thinking that he's saved, when he is not, it's as though he has walled himself off Christ and his will. It's as though he's not listening or heeding to Christ's call. Consequently, such a person will die condemned without knowing Christ. It is the reason why, dear friends, many will stand before Christ one day and he will tell them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, dear friends, beware of lies. Beware of those lies that hurt the soul's fidelity to Christ. Beware of those lies that even damn the soul. Beware of lies. Beware of lies. Beware of lies. Beware of lukewarmness. For these are dangers, grave dangers, that grieve the Spirit of Christ. And when they grieve the Spirit of Christ, Christ leaves and he stands at the door knocking. And that leads to a disconnection. And that with time would lead to a disregard and even a disruption in your relationship with Christ. Perhaps there are some here who know your relationship with Christ is not as it should be. I think if we are to be honest, all of us will say that our relationship with Christ is not where it should be. Well, dear friends, now is the time to examine yourself in light of these things. Where lies your fault in this matter? Where lies your fault in this matter? Perhaps it's your indulgence in lies. Perhaps it's your indulgence in lukewarmness as these people. You don't want to commit yourself to Christ in any way. His mission is your secondary purpose in life. Perhaps it's worldliness. Perhaps it's peer pressure. Perhaps it's pleasure. Perhaps it's an unbridled ambition that is leading you away and away from Christ himself. Beware, dear friends. Beware and seek repair. Don't deny. This is not the time to deny. Beware and seek repair. The good news, dear friends, is that Christ gives hope to you. He says right there in the text, behold, I stand at the door, whatever that door is. We'll talk about what the door is. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Dear friends, this brings us to the final part of our message. For our text, here prophets a special promise of true restoration from Christ to sinners. Here we have a special promise given by Christ. This promise has a call. It also has a condition. It also has a consolation. Let's talk about the call. The call requires all to personally pay attention to says, behold. The word behold is also see. Look. Behold. Pay attention. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, dear friends, one of the reasons why our personal relationship with Christ is often lacking is because we fail to behold. We fail to see, we fail to look. And specifically, as stated here, we fail to see him because he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We look to ourselves, we look to others, we look to our problems, our affairs, but we rarely pay as much attention to the Lord of our lives, who is worthy of all our focus. But here, the call is to see, to consider Christ. Behold, behold, oh dear friend, behold Christ. Consider Christ in your study of his word. Consider Christ in your prayers and your devotions and your thoughts. Consider him in all aspects of your life. Consider his person. Consider his work. He is the mediator. He came, lived righteously as God, as the God-man. He died sacrificially on the cross. He rose up for the justification of sinners, and he has ascended up to heaven, interceding on your behalf. Consider him. Consider where he stands in your life. Consider him with respect to the matter that you face even now. Consider him in all these things in light of your own devotion to him and assess whether you have given him his due as the Lord, Savior, and priority of your life. Consider. Consider, dear friends. Consider, for if Christ is not your priority, then there is something wrong. He stands outside of your life, as it were, at the door, whatever that door that you have placed there to be. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking. Perhaps even knocking through this message. He's knocking. Are you keeping him standing out there? Are you? Behold, and give him his due. This is the call in this promise. But this promise also has a condition, dear friends. The condition in this promise is that if anyone hears Christ's voice and opens the door, Christ will come in. If anyone hears his voice, yeah, you open the door, Christ says he would come. The condition given is that if you do something, well, then something will happen. Dear friends, the conditions that allows for the entrance of Christ is two things. Hearing Christ's voice and responding by opening the door for Christ to enter. But what does it mean to hear Christ's voice? Well, to hear the voice of Christ is to follow him. This is something that you can only do through God's help by his Spirit. What does it mean then to open the door? Well, in Revelation, doors are used to express an entrance or some kind of access. Therefore, dear friends, the condition that is spelled out here is that if anyone who obediently follows Christ's word by yielding to him and giving him the access to his life, if anyone hears Christ's word and obediently yields to him by giving him the access to his soul, his heart, his whole being, Christ will come in. Christ will come in. Oh, I know that such a condition involves many things that are so difficult for us to handle. In fact, humanly speaking, they are nearly impossible. Impossible, let me just say it very clearly. That is why we need God's help, dear friends. The stubbornness, the hindrances, the blockages. We need God's help in all of these things so that we can hear God's voice and open the door, clearing all those things that block access to our lives. See, dear friends, if you seek his help, if you seek his help, he will provide. And as he says that if you will open the door, he will come in. And dear friends, when he comes in, there's so much consolation that he brings. And that's the third thing that this promise speaks about. See, when Christ comes in, he brings with him a lot of support, a lot of consolation. He gives a true restoration of communion. That's what he says, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Dear friends, this is no ordinary communion. This is the communion with the divine God himself. God himself. In fact, in John chapter 14, our Lord says that when he comes with the Father. And obviously we know that he sends his Spirit as well. The triune God comes himself. Come. This is no ordinary communion. It's divine. But it's a dwelling and a deep communion where he doesn't just stop by. He comes to stay. And he comes to communicate with the believer. He refreshes the believer with his graces and his gifts. He doesn't just come to do superficial things. He gives the depth of his covenant and shares them with him. Dear friends, let's strive for such a deep communion. Away with the superficial Christianity. Away with those half-hearted religion. Let's seek for a deep communion with Christ, because it comes with an inner blessedness of a deeper knowledge of God's love, John 14 tells us in verse 23. It comes with a deeper awareness of his truth, John 14, 17 tells us. It comes with a true assurance as being God's own people, Galatians 4, 6 tells us. It comes with it righteousness, peace, and joy. Because that is the situation where Christ himself rules in his kingdom. Dear friends, I'm going to end here. But as I end, I pray that the Lord will stir up our souls with this picture as given in our text. And that he will also stir us with the promise of the text so that we will seek a restoration of our communion and relationship with Christ so that we may receive those consolations that are promised for our help and for his glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for these words, and we are grateful that, Lord, you are willing to come and give to us tokens of deep communion with unworthy, wretched sinners such as we. Oh God, we confess that we don't deserve it, and we pray that you come in your own special mercy and power to give us grace to receive it. I pray that each one here, God, would search within his own heart or her own heart. I pray that, Lord, you give us grace to honestly reflect upon these things and seek that all those things that block your access by way of the doors will be removed. Oh, God, give us grace that we will hear your voice and open those doors so that you come. We ask all these and many more in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen.